Good morning, everybody. We're still looking for a facility, and we figure that by January 1st, God will have opened up a door. But we're still looking, and some things look really good there at the location that was near our home, but there are other options that we need to take into consideration. So we're not making that decision yet until we get all the facts. So your prayers are continually needed, that the place that God wants us to be at will be opened up. So let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you very, very much that you have given your life through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit for all of us so that we don't have to die for eternity, that we have a future that is incomprehensible for us. And we try to imagine what it would be like to be with you for eternity, but you've told us that we can't even imagine it. It's just beyond comprehension, just like your creation. When we look at the creation, and we can't even begin to comprehend that because it is so comprehensive and complex and amazing. And what you are doing for us right now is far, far, far beyond that, as we're going to see in these scriptures. And we look forward to being with you and seeing what you have up your sleeve, as you've got plans that are so amazing that we don't want to take any chances whatsoever of missing out on this priceless future that you have in store for us. And so, God, we praise you for being so generous, so full of grace, so kind to us, that you love us unconditionally, just like you want us to love every single human being unconditionally, and to treat them with the same respect that you did. And so we just ask your blessing now, your inspiration, that we will hear what you want us to hear so that we will never forget what you did for us. And we praise you and we thank you, Father, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So our scripture today is four verses, but they are power-packed, to say the least. I'll read it to begin with because we may need 5 hours to really comprehend the depth of what's involved in these four verses. But like it says here in verse 1, or verse 11, Hebrews 9 and verse 11, when Christ came as high priest of good things that are already here, now you have to think about that for a while, but that's the new covenant, and that's what we're celebrating here with the communion. He went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made by man or man-made, that is to say, not a part of this creation, because this creation is physical, like Pierre was bringing out. It's physical. But there is a spiritual creation that is going to envelop all of us, and the physical creation will vanish. And we can't even imagine what that would be like because we've never been into the spirit realm other than our minds are filled with the Holy Spirit. When was the last time your body was composed of spirit, like Jesus Christ was after his resurrection? And he did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, and he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. And so what's amazing, we're going to go and see some of the things that Israel went through, and it's just unbelievable that God would put up with all the stuff they did. It's just, in case we're wondering, well, I wonder if God can be merciful to us when we fall short, and we all fall short quite often in lots of ways that we don't even think about until God brings it to mind, and you say, well, what have you been doing lately? Have you been doing my will, or have you been doing your will? And there's so many different things that we need to die daily for and to repent. Repentance is a lifestyle that we've got to come to understand. And so what God wants us to see is he wants us to see how faithful our head is. And he wants us as the body to become extremely faithful like he is, because his faithfulness is beyond comprehension. Just looking at the creation and what he did, physically speaking, is incomprehensible. But our head did that, and we're going to be a part of his body, and we're going to go into a spiritual creation that we'll be involved in that so far surpasses this physical creation that this physical creation is like nothing in comparison. Nothing. Eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has even entered into your heart the things that God has prepared for those that love him. And we need to be reminded of this because Paul does that through all of his books. And now in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews is all about how dealt with the Hebrews. The Hebrews began under Eber back after the flood. Shem had a son, and then there was a son after from him, and then a son from him that was named Eber, and the Hebrews were all the descendants of Eber. And that included a lot of more people than just the Jews. But God just shows that he's doing a lot more in everybody's lives than you realize. And this book of Hebrews is written to those who were consumed with the old covenant. And we should be able to understand that because we were very consumed for years and years under the old covenant, if you've been around as long as many of us here have been. And the old covenant is priceless, but it's nothing compared to the new covenant. Nothing. And that's what the book of Hebrews is telling us. We need to realize, because all the things that they were doing under the old covenant are just, I mean, I was just reading it all this morning, back in Exodus chapter 40, and all the different things that the priests did, and how they had to offer these goats and two goats, and then they had the scapegoat, and he was sent out into the country because Jesus Christ was crucified outside the city. But all these things were all tied in to the real crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and it was all about him, and it was pointing to him. And so all those things, but the thing, it was just phenomenal to see how complicated it was under the old covenant. Just so complicated. The more I read, and the whole book of Leviticus just talks about the garments and all the stuff that they had to wear, and they had these Urim and the Thummim and the, all sorts of stuff. It was just phenomenal. And all of that has been changed into one thing, and that's what we did this morning. Jesus Christ fulfilled it all. And the good news is he is doing it all. He did it all for them in ancient Israel. But we'll see that as we go on. But it's just amazing. It just blows my mind to see what Jesus Christ has done and how much he cares for us and how he cared for those rebellious Israelites who were worshiping a golden calf while Moses was up on the mountain talking to God. The wonder when Moses came down, he took the Ten Commandments and he crashed them on the rocks on the way down because he says, I can't believe what's going on here. Here, look what God has done. He's led us out into the wilderness and now you're complaining. Now you want to have meat instead of just manna that floats down from heaven and you can eat the manna and you think that's not enough? Give me a break. But it just shows human nature. And the whole old covenant helps us to realize we need something a whole lot more than ritual. We need a spiritual life change. And that's what Jesus Christ came to do. That's what we sang about in the opening song. And so the audience here of the book of Hebrews, because there were so many individuals who were wrapped up in the old covenant, and they believed that that's what made them the master race, so to speak. And they needed to realize that there's something else that God has in store, because God is not just dealing with the Jews. God says to the Jew first, then also to the Greek. That's to the rest of the world and all, every human being. God loves the whole world and he wants us to do the same. But just finishing this here where he goes on to talk about the blood of goats and bulls and the because the high priest in the Old Testament, he had to sacrifice a bull for himself because a goat wasn't enough. But anyway, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. In other words, it looks a certain way, like Christians can look really nice on the outside and so on. But what God is interested in, man looks on the outward appearance, but God's looking on the heart. And that's what we need, like David prayed, create in me a clean heart, O God. That should be our prayer every day. That doesn't hurt to be a part of your daily prayer, because that's the only way we're going to be able to become like Jesus, is when we have his heart, not ours. And so they were outwardly clean after going through all of that. But how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, and that shows that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all involved in this redemption process of creating us to become like Jesus, who had such a perfect righteousness that we could never attain without him coming and providing that for us as a free gift. But he goes on to say, unblemished to God, to present us, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death. One of the things that we need to see very clearly is the last part, that to make sure, so that we may serve the living God, because that's what Jesus did. He came to serve us, and he wants us to serve him. And the way we serve him is by worshiping him, putting him first, and talking to him all day long, praying without ceasing, praying for one another without ceasing, because he commands that all through the New Testament, to be praying one for each other. We should be praying for each other here in this room all the time. That is something that will help us to become like Jesus, because that's what he was doing. He was spending time with all of his 12 disciples, and especially three of them, Peter, James, and John, but then he was with all 12, and we've got 12 disciples here today. So we can spend time together and pray for each other, as well as those who are on Zoom. There's everybody else involved, plus everybody beyond that, everybody you see. And so we can't hear this enough, because you'll notice how often Paul and all of the apostles who wrote the New Testament repeat things over and over and over and over again. And so let's take a look at this, because the intended audience here are those who are caught up in the old covenant and are physically minded. But there's a big lesson that is very important for us to realize, is that as we get caught up in the physical realm that we're living in, it's very easy to fall into the same trap that the Hebrews were doing, and that is forgetting the spiritual dimension and only focusing on the physical, making sure that you, like for us, as long as I attend church and that I, you know, that I tell everybody that I'm a Christian or whatever I need to do and so on, instead of having the heart change. And that's something we need to ask for daily, all day long, because I'll tell you, Satan's been working on me like crazy, trying to distract me from everything possible to keep me away from spending time with him. And that's why I use the expression, busy means being under Satan's yoke. We need to be careful that we're not just busy bees doing our own thing and doing things that are not as important as spending time with God, because that's where it's at. And Satan is going to do everything that he is capable of doing to keep you away from prayer, guaranteed. So just realize who your enemy is, because he's working on me just like he's working on you. And so the lesson that we're going to be seeing here too is how important it is to not allow secondary things, or things that are of this physical world or the physical nature, to distract us from such a magnificent gift of grace that God is giving to us, that we miss out on what is important. Because God tells us, watch and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass. Because the whole world is going to go through a living hell before Christ comes back. And he wants to make sure that we are watching. You need to watch your heart, watch your attitude, and just constantly be watching and keeping your eyes. When you watch, you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. And that's how you really watch appropriately. When you watch Jesus, because he is in our lives, he lives in us with the Holy Spirit and with the Father, and we need to listen to him all day long and not allow these secondary things to displace our trust and our faithfulness to Jesus Christ. He wants this extreme faithfulness that Jesus had. Because we may have faithfulness, but he wants extreme faithfulness. He wants to know that he can depend upon us to put him first and to worship him. And so what the writer of Hebrews, and we don't know for sure who that was, but the whole book is bringing out how important it is that we have to be fully devoted to Jesus Christ. And that this new covenant is so dramatically powerful, but it is so simplistic because it's so easy. God says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You're not caught up in all the things that like ancient Israel was doing, and the high priest had to do so many different things. It was just crazy. But under the new covenant, Jesus Christ does it all for us. He even overcomes for us by if we allow ourselves to be instruments in his hands. And we need to spend our time in worship and letting him know, thank you, thank you, thank you for doing for us what we could never do for ourselves. And that is critical because it's so easy to just do what we've always done. If you do what you're always done, you're not overcoming. When you overcome, God says, to him that overcomes, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. And the overcomer is somebody that is overcoming what you're doing on a regular basis, so that we're growing in grace and in knowledge, that we're doing things differently than we did yesterday, and asking God to help us to become more like Jesus. When you're more like Jesus, you're less like yourself than you were yesterday. But we, just like the Hebrews were struggling with, it's easy for us to just drift and get distracted and so on. But the big lesson in these four verses demonstrate, like it says, when Christ came as the high priest of the good things that are already here, when we really grasp that, it drives you to worship. When you really realize what God has done for us, and then when you see all the things in the old covenant that he had done for them, because they didn't know how to worship. All they knew how to do was worship a golden calf. That was easy because that's what all the Gentiles were doing, and that's what their human nature was driving them to do. But Jesus Christ laid the foundation for them. The whole Old Covenant, when you go through the whole book of Leviticus, he designed the whole process of worship because there's no way that they could do what they needed to do because man is incapable of pleasing God in the flesh. We have to be in the Spirit. And when you are in the Spirit, all these things that they were doing under the Old Covenant and so on were all patterned after heaven. What did they have? They had the holy place. In heaven, there's the temple, you know, because Jesus Christ is the temple. And then there's the holy place. And then there's the curtain. And then there's the Holy of Holies where God himself dwells. But Jesus Christ broke that curtain and gave us direct access, whereas the high priest only got to do that once a year on the Day of Atonement. We get it every second. We have direct access straight to God. Back in that time, they would have just said, how could this be? But that's what God has given to us. That's what Jesus Christ came to do. He wants to develop this intimate relationship where we walk with God, we talk with God. I mean, there were a few like Moses and Elijah and Daniel and David and so on that God worked with and so on. And the Holy Spirit was with them, but not in them, but the Holy Spirit was with them and guiding them and so on so that they could guide the people in, at least in the right direction. But obviously they didn't follow very well when you see what happened with Moses and Elijah and David and so on. There was all sorts of chaos everywhere. Because that's the nature we have. We've got a chaotic nature called human nature, and it needs to have the Holy Spirit. That's when we're baptized, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we need to treasure that gift and thank God for it. The whole book is helping. If you go through the entire book, the first 8 chapters is all about the old covenant and how that had to be replaced because we needed something far, far more valuable that Jesus Christ came to give. And he wanted the Jews and the Hebrews and all those who were affiliated with the Old Covenant to see we're moving on. And now the whole focus is on Jesus Christ, like it says at the end of this section. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences? That's where you think. That's where the Holy Spirit dwells, in your conscience. There's a spirit in man, and that's his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And he comes and lives in our spirit and empowers you to do what you could never do otherwise. From acts that lead to death, so that we might serve the living God. So this is good news of what God has given to us, because Jesus Christ spelled it all out for them, and he made all the guidelines and made all, it wouldn't hurt to, in your private time, to just go look through Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and just see all the things that Jesus Christ laid out, because he didn't want to give up on this rebellious people that he loved. And he worked with them, and he forgave them, and he was providing a worship program for them that he designed from scratch. And it's all spelled out there, but it's so complicated, because that's why it takes God to be able to do what only God can do. And it's complicated, but not for God. But for us, if we try to do what God's doing in our lives, no way you can do it. And that's why all those things in the Old Testament, and especially the Genesis through Deuteronomy, show how complicated the whole process is and why that had to change, and that Jesus Christ came to fulfill all that. And so the text that we have here, these four verses, show that Jesus is God's perfect and final provision for a reconciliation with him. What's interesting, too, is that this section here, beginning in verse 11. Now, my NIV doesn't have it, but it has it in the New Revised Standard Version. It begins with a B-U-T. In other words, everything changes that was being referred to back in Hebrews chapter 1 through 8, and it's now transformed. But when Jesus came as high priest of good things that are already here, because why was it already here? When this book was written, Jesus Christ had been crucified, his blood had been shed, we had received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the entire covenant was transformed into a totally new covenant. I'd like us to see in Hebrews chapter 1, that shows a little bit more about this. In Hebrews 1, it says, "In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he had provided purification for sins, he sat down," because he had finished the work. He went back to the Father after he was resurrected, and he went back and he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven, so that he became as much superior to the angels as the name of he has inherited is superior to theirs. And some religions try to show that Jesus used to be an angel, which is not what that's talking about at all. But it just shows that Jesus Christ, when he became the Son of God, like we'll read here, "You are my Son. To which of the angels did God ever say, 'You are my Son, today I have become your Father'? Or again, 'I will be his Father, he will be my Son.' Let all the God's angels worship him." Now, if the angels are worshiping him, and the angels have been here forever, how much more should we be worshiping God? And they're in the presence of God. They're blown out of their minds when you think about it. They just bow down and worship. And the 24 elders, they kneel and bow down before God because of his majesty and his power and his glory. And the more that we can think about God in this way, about His extreme faithfulness and how phenomenal that He is and how His heart is geared for loving even His enemies, it's a beautiful picture. And then in chapter 2 of Hebrews goes on to say, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. Again, he's saying this right at the beginning as well as over there in chapter 9. For if the message spoken by angels was binding, the old covenant, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him, the disciples, and God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. And if you go and look at what was in the temple, there were things that were all symbolic of what Jesus did. Because they had three things inside the Ark of the Covenant that was in the Holy of Holies. And you've got this Aaron's rod that budded. Now, what is that symbolic of? Does that not tell you about miracles? I mean, when was the last time you saw a dead stick produce buds? But God did that. He performs miracles. The other thing is the law or the Ten Commandments are in there, but that's, if there's any one thing that God wants us to do is to be obedient to His will. That was the old law, but the new law is love. And that's what the Ten Commandments is representing, because Jesus Christ came to magnify the law and to make it honorable. And there was one other thing. What was the other thing that was in the Holy of Holies, in the Ark of the Covenant? Oh yeah, the jar of manna. There's Jesus. He is the bread of life. That it's just so priceless to see that this all points to Jesus Christ. And He is in the heart of the Holy of Holies where God is. And the holy place is where the high priest is, and he's preparing and they're offering incense. You know what that incense is all about? And they had to do incense all over the place all the time. Incense is prayer. And then the outer court shows that they were incorporated, but they were on the outside, but they still have a relationship. And that's the rest of the world. But they're not being called yet, but God is eventually going to call the whole world. But all those things are symbolic of what Jesus Christ came to fulfill. And He's doing all sorts of miracles, and we have Jesus Christ living in us, and these miracles are just phenomenal. And I hope many of you are seeing, I see miracles all day long in my life. When we pray with individuals and then you see what God is doing. And I've learned to look at things from a spiritual perspective, because a lot of times we may be asking for physical answers and God gives spiritual answers and their lives are being transformed. It's inspiring when you begin to see the depth of what's going on in our relationships with everybody that we meet. God is working behind the scenes, and He wants us to, like it says here in Hebrews 9, that is critical. He says that who through the eternal Spirit living in us offered Himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences, that's your heart, that's your mind, that's where Jesus lives, that's where the Holy Spirit operates from acts that lead to death. In other words, that's talking about this a way that seems right, it ends in death, that's human nature. To cleanse you from this dirty, rotten, filthy human nature that is so deceitful and disruptive and destructive, that we may serve the living God. Now, how do we serve the living God? We do exactly what Jesus Christ commands us to do. He says, go and make disciples of all. That was the last thing. That must have been pretty important when he ascends up and the last thing he says, go and make disciples of all nations. And the only way we're going to do that is say, God, I need you to do that through me. Let me be such a light to these people or whoever it is that I meet that they want to know more about why you are the way that you are, that you can be a light in the darkness of this world. And that's what he's talking about here when he says that we may serve the living God. Because Jesus Christ came to seek and save the lost. That's what we sang about. He came to seek and save the lost. And you know who he's doing that through? Guess who? You and me. That's what we're here for, to seek and save the lost. He went back to heaven and he gave the Holy Spirit here to guide us into all truth. Jesus is the truth. His word is the truth. And when we're reading the word, he is going to be instructing us how to do that and how to serve the living God the way he wants us to do. And that's why I'm telling you that Satan's number one goal is to keep you away from prayer and reading the word. Guaranteed. And if you find that happening to you, then you realize who's on your tail. Because he's working on you. He's like that big squirrel that runs across the back fence and he's got this tail. Well, that's Satan traveling, trying to, get in your back door. But just realizing that we have a mission to complete and we need to be praying without ceasing. And prayer needs to become our mantra, our modus operandi, praying for everybody. I was at the Cupertino Bible study, and the one lady there, that she's such an inspiration, but she says, you know what I do? Because I'm trying to fulfill this, she said, when I'm driving and I stop at a traffic light, she says, I pray for every person in every car that I see and say, I don't know what they need, but I know you do, God, and please provide needs for them. We might think, what futility, give me a break. No, that is glorifying God, because you are asking God to do things that he can do, that you and I can't do. And we can pray for our neighbors and ask God to begin working in their lives and help us to become a servant in our neighborhood. Any way that we can do things like that. This is what God is looking for. And so this scripture is given to us so that we can be able to understand that Jesus Christ and what he did for us is so much more valuable than the Old Covenant, than the entire Old Testament. Priceless as it is, we learn from it. There's fantastic scriptures and so forth. But Jesus Christ fulfills all of them in us if we ask him to. And under the Old Testament liturgy, there is a remembrance of sin in every repeated act of sacrifice, because they had to, every time they sinned, they had to do at least one kind of offering. There's five or so different offerings that they had to do, and so on. All of that's been changed because Jesus Christ wants us to have no remembrance of sin at all. And they had to be reminded of their sins over and over and over and over again. And then Jesus Christ came and totally obliterated sin so that we don't even have to worry about sin destroying our future. Which, when you think of it, that is the ultimate gift of grace. Incomprehensible. And so this week, let's spend time worshiping God and thanking him. Well, thanking the Father for the Son, for giving us the Son, and for giving us the Holy Spirit to guide us and pointing us to the Son, because they're working together on you all the time. And thanking the Son, Jesus Christ, for being the perfect high priest, the perfect example for us to demonstrate to our neighbors or anybody that we meet. And so let's just pray and ask God to help us to glorify God everywhere we go. Father, we just thank you. Thank you so very much that you've given us such encouraging news that Jesus Christ fulfills the entire Old Covenant, and that he is our peace. He's our joy. He's our love. He's our patience. And God, we just need you all the time so that our yoke can be easy and our burden light. Thank you for reminding us. Thank you for having the Bible written so that we have instructions on what to do and how to do it the way you want it to be done, so that we can fulfill your will. So help us to worship you 24/7, to pray for everybody that we see, and everywhere we look, to be constantly fixing our eyes on you, Father, in Jesus Christ, and thanking for the Holy Spirit who lives in us to keep our focus where it needs to be. And we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.